Good day, everybody. Welcome to the Got Brain podcast presented by Cognitivology, where we will continuously discuss and present in detail the mechanics of intuitive intelligence that are built on our inborn basic intuition. Plus, we will also be presenting the true mechanics and virtues of diversification. Now, you may be pondering, what do these two things have in common? And this is something we will continue to present and unfold for you about the significant connection between these two facets of our human potential. I would like to introduce myself. I am Carla Mencken-Wolf, and also my wonderful best friend and editor, Bryce Conway. And she's going to say something. What would you like to say?
Hi, everybody. My name is Bryce Conway, as Carla Mencken-Wolf had just said. I wanted to say that we are, in fact, the mechanics of intuition and diversification. I hope you guys enjoy our presentation and stick around for others. We welcome all comments and questions. We will try to answer them all throughout the next couple of weeks or months, and hopefully on this journey of brain potential discovery, you guys will learn something. This information is only was developed by us and only can be presented by cognitivologists, which is what we are.
And we also hope to learn something from you from all of you in our audience, as we learn about the questions and inquiries you have about true human brain potential, or the genuine, bona fide, authentic potentialities of what our brain has intended us to be and become in all of our commonality and our uniqueness.
Hello.
Hello again. We are back with another session of Cognitivology, the cognitively correct way to speak with preschoolers, which is, by the way, the cognitively correct way to speak with all humans.
Yes.
And if we just used this type of semantical system in the way that we communicate, it addresses a multiplicity of abilities that we all want to upgrade in our lives. So most of the stuff we do is done in bits and pieces and piecemeal and categories. And, you know, I'll speak like a good leader when I'm at work, but then when I go home, I'll forget about it, or I'll drop it, or I'll just use some other form of speech.
Yes.
But, why did I say all that? Why did I start out saying that?
I never know. When we start these sessions, you even failed to give me even the briefest of information as to what it is that we are going to cover today.
Well, you and I spoke about this several days ago, so it's hardly going to be a surprise at all to bring up what it is that I mean to say.
Fair enough.
But what we are really, reviewing today, mm-hmm. or reintroducing, is a little outline about how people can expect to look at our website when we finish constructing the basics of it, and then we will add some more implicit and explicit videos and courses along the way as we go.
Okay.
But one of the themes that we want to put forth to people, because we are cognitivology, which is the actual organic, true, original, natural development of the human brain, according to the rules of cognition. So that theme has to really go on the front page of our website, or on the top side of our website, or the landing page, whatever the lingo is these days that people are using to describe the newfangled websites as they are being being made or constructed or reconstructed. So I think I want to just start out by saying really quickly, I had attended a church service, actually, a non-denominational church service this past Sunday with a family that I help out. The service actually, sermon was a woman who works with an organization of women who are doing a lot of humanitarian works.
Okay.
And the last thing that she spoke about was child development.
Okay.
And she specifically was pointing out the 0 to 3 years old stage. And that had to be the umpteenth time these past couple of months that I've heard people mention that. So I approached her afterwards and I asked her, I said, do you understand what the 3 to 5 year old stage is like? Because even most neuroscientists are challenged in this area. There's plenty of information out there. People will talk to you about the 0 to 3, the emotional intelligence basis, and then they'll go straight to, okay, now we're in kindergarten, and then, you know, K to 12, how should we do education? And I've asked people to define the 3 to 5 year old stage. I mean, people who are very involved in education and cognitive development and neuroscientists and psychologists. And I'll ask them, can you give me a definition or a description or an outline for the 3 to 5 year old stage? And I was kind of, and I wrote it on my LinkedIn page today, that I kind of stood there brazenly with my arms crossed and tapping my toe waiting like, I'm waiting. Like, can I have the definition, please? I said, and I finally said, okay, let me help you out with this one. So she goes, okay. she was very open-minded. It was great. I think she was curious. A lot of times when I mention this, people run for the hills, which, I mean, to some degree, I can understand, because nobody's ever asked them that before, so they're missing an answer for it.
True.
So I said, in context or in comparison, from the 0 to 3 year old stage, yes, we are talking about emotional intelligence, how people will be able to navigate their relationships and their soft skills and that whole realm of thinking. So I said, by the time a child gets to the teenagehood, they may have been fostered or well enough in such a way where they feel that their parent does accept their feelings and emotions, and they could say, thank you for accepting and acknowledging and the way that I feel, and I could reconcile this and that. But the 3 to 5 year old stage becomes the mastery of language. Now, does that mean that kids only start learning to speak at 3? Hardly at all. But the brain takes on a whole different version of cognitive development at the 3, 3.5 year old stage.
Right.
So while there are children who are 2 years old that can be very vocal and use a lot of vocabulary and speak, it's still different than the context of the way the 3.5 year old brain works. And at that stage, the mastery of language, which can still be learned intuitively, must take on a version of instructions and guidance that represent the fundamental laws of knowledge, which are the fundamental laws of physics, which are also the diversified principles of mathematics and what we would call natural science, how the bio, everything works. So while I had also mentioned that our biography and our biology are inextricably linked, this is where that takes on that veneer or that characterization. So this is where language really sort of constructs and integrates our biology and our biography. We start, our individual abilities come out more and more. So when language at that time can be represented and dispensed, the techniques of instruction and guidance and everything, in accordance with the rules of natural laws, the forces and fields of the universe, but they're simplified, right? Mm-hmm. So that we never skip steps in the knowledge of a process. Also, motor skills take on a whole new gesture or set of gestures. And that's inextricably linked with the basic laws of physics. Mm-hmm. And spatial reasoning skills. Mm-hmm. So if we just sort of skip that or just treat it as like, okay, I got through the first 3 years of the whole EQ thing, the emotional cognition, emotional intelligence. And when kids get to three and a half, they do indeed, are able to fend for themselves more in exploratory play and discovery. So oftentimes they're left on their own, but then parents intervene a lot when there's just some disciplinary action that needs or some obedience thing that comes up, event or incident where they have to speak to the children. And then that usually comes out in the knowledge of guilt and consequences and without with a limited amount of interaction and maybe certain threats sometimes, like timeouts and that sort of thing. So now both of the intellectual basics that they need to learn and the emotional basics that they had been learning for the first 3 years are kind of like out the window almost.
Right.
And so instead of being able to put their feelings and what's going on and the description of what's happened and what's been done into words, the parents asking the children to explain what was going on and helping them with words if need be.
Right.
And doing it in a way that is parallel with the constructs of space and time reasoning skills or the basic laws of physics. Otherwise, we only have an interruption where there's a difficulty, right? So the emotional intelligence elements need to be brought forth with those pieces of knowledge so that they're still accepted and also put into more sophisticated language. And children at that age are already able to really do a lot more to help their fellow human being or help mom and dad around the house or do any kind of tasks around the house that involve their motor skills. So a lot of that can be skipped and then that becomes extrapolates or becomes a pattern for reasoning skills later on in the teen years. So comparatively speaking or conclusively speaking, what we're saying is that if they get the first 3 years perfectly right, parents, but then they miss these elements that go into the mastery of language with those aptitudes, both the basic laws of knowledge / physics and the aptitudes of the human brain, the cocktail code, as we've mentioned in so many of our sessions, then what happens is the difference between someone who gets all of that during the first 5 years and someone who was on top of doing the first 3 years, but then missing the 3 to 5 year old stage. It's like, okay, I'm a teenager now. Yes, mom, thank you for acknowledging my feelings and accepting what's going on with me right now. but I'd rather forget about talking about it. That's the most basic way to put it.
Right.
So that can become a problem, because then that now we can see from the teen years will put a thorn in the way that kids will relate to their peers in high school, or how they will be able to relate in the workplace, or how to work out solutions or resolutions in the workplace or with their social peers or in intimate relationships. And it's particularly essential for boys, because boys have a little bit more of a knack for certain types of math skills, whereas girls have a knack for another type of math skills. So girls' math skills are still, we could use the word radiating in the EQ function, mm-hmm. while they are exploring different elements of the space-time reasoning, you could say, energy, matter that is around us. And sometimes those are interchangeable. Sometimes you see boys doing a lot of things that you might anticipate girls to be doing, and vice versa.
Right.
But there is boys' brains in the 3 to 5 year old stage, and girls' brains do take on certain particular characteristics. So for boys, it's especially essential or extra essential for those fundamental laws of physics to come into play, because they already start to like analyzing things. Mm-hmm. But their emotions are just as important as a girl's emotions. So that's particularly significant, especially when you see boys getting to the teen years and being more risky in their decision-making skills. Mm-hmm. So the mastery of language is very important. But I think the point that I really wanted to get across on top of all of that was something that we spoke about extensively in the past week, and a concept that we want to put on our landing page and we hope to create a great amount of interest with, is that language skills do have as much impact on a person's lifetime health as nutrition. Because the way that we decompress or stress or are able to express ourselves in words that represent our sense of knowledge acquisition and our fast-growing sense of learning and knowledge during that early stage, and the way that emotions really start to play more and more into everything that we do, then that becomes essential. So you see, again, another inextricable integrated link between feelings, language, and of course, there's the nutrition thing for our health.
Right.
And nutrition itself has to have a place at the language table, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Because as children learn to eat well and learn about nutrition and all other points and partitions and sectors of natural science that are all part of the way that we live in our own biosphere, then we really start to get a better picture of what it means for everything to be integrated. So how we can express ourselves emotionally, because our brains first and foremost are emotionally develop, will have a great, profound impact on our health, because our sense of expression emotionally will either help us to work through what we're looking to work through, or help us find greater solutions or more creative ideas, even with our emotions. How we can treat ourselves, how we can treat others. And that creates a safety net, an impervious firewall, emotional firewall, so to speak, that deflects the kind of stressors that cause inflammations, which are at the root of so many diseases and illnesses, or become an actual byproduct if they're They're either somewhere at the root or they become a byproduct of whatever somebody's suffering, which then exacerbates whatever anybody's going through in terms of health. So whether it's an invisible health issue or a visible health issue, they're all linked together and they all impact the way people feel. It's like, you know, when you have a headache, and anybody will believe you if you say you have a headache, but if you go get a CT scan or an MRI, a headache, it's sort of like this invisible anomaly, right? Can you pull it out of your ear or your nose or, and right. say, see, let me show you, I've got a headache.
Right.
Right. Is it going to show up in an MRI or a CT scan? So a lot of but the way that we cognize will influence the mind, which in turn influences the health of the biological brain and vice versa.
Right.
So a lack of nutrition can put a real damper on the way our mind operates, because our mind depends on the brain. A lot of people like to think that they're completely separate, disconnected things, but they're a partnership. And we need to be able to feed our brain so that our minds can deflect reeling from, oh, the brain keeps telling me that the body's hungry, mm-hmm. or that the second brain, the gut, needs nutrition and food.
Right.
And then we can go on and on and on and on and connect one thing to the other. And then we can actually move into what the cells are saying to the brain now.
Right.
And how certain receptor sites
which is all communication.
It's all communication. It's either invisible communication or it's peptide communication or it's chemical communication, invisible non-chemical communication, which I already said. And so it's a very integral system. When we speak of integration, we need to speak about the 3 to 5 year old brain, because this is the one spot, time, place where everything, where the brain is saying, okay, all you things are the same thing to me.
Right.
So work together, whatever you are, visible, invisible, cells, language, cognition, movement, whatever you are, you're all the same thing. Just show me the math. Show me the natural, diversified properties that go into every aspect of everything that we are, all of our capabilities, visible and invisible. This is the junction point. So it's so significant, and yet it's given so little significance. It's the most complex stage, so technically it's the most important. But even if it was the most simple stage, if it's being laid out as insignificant and incoherent and simple, it's still a missing link in the strand of cognitive development, which means that, again, we've said this, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Mm-hmm. So until that area of understanding is conquered, without that,
you conquered it. So it's dispersed.
We want
understood.
We want it dispersed. We want it conquered on a global scale.
Right.
So with that said in mind, please add something.
Only thing that kept coming into my head was that, you know, which we have said many times before, is that cognition is a whole body process.
Thank you.
So that you said it with all your other conglomerate of words that you use on, you know, all of these different podcasts, but invisible, visible communication, nutrition, it's all a whole body process. And between the 3 to 5 year old stage, the whole body process is in fact whole.
It is.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah, it's just this, you know,
this whole thing.
Everybody's like, well, when a baby is born, it's just this big mound of clay. It's this mush. It's this, you know, a baby is unable to distinguish where your finger starts and their nose ends, right. You know, and okay, yes, it develops, it grows, it understands that at some point there is space-time separation, actually, right. You know, because prior to that, their space-time was, in fact, all connected. They were,
right.
they were submersed in,
right.
Or immersed in water and fluid and in this developmental cocoon, and then thrusted into this, you know, separateness.
That's actually a really good point. And I love that you brought it up because you are a mom. But while a 3 to 5 year old child can understand their sense of bodiness within the space of invisible air around them, a baby has even the 3 to 5 year old brain is treating everything as indistinct, whereas the baby in actuality is, it's a very good point that you made, because the baby is even more indistinct. Like, their hands waving through the air is the same as the air waving through their hands, so to speak. That's mm-hmm. that's one way to put it. But it's even more indistinct. And the distinctness that they're learning comes from love dispensed in the form of eye contact and hearing the mother's voice and the father's voice and the other intimate relationships around them, the familiarity of the space that they're learning about. And whatever other affections are distributed or dispensed to them in terms of their little body, mm-hmm. that they start learning that distinction only where they are being held or picked up or touched or embraced or fed and all these other things. So they're learning pretty quickly, and there's a distinction that comes in, and there's a lot of milestones. So I love to see babies at that 8, 9, 10 month stage where I see them clinging to mom. Like, everybody else in the world could just go
right.
kiss the dark yes. side of the moon. Usually, even including dad. It's like, it's me and mom. It's me and mom against the world.
Well, sure.
and there's a particular bonding ritual that goes on there that is, I'm sure.
I would be interested to find out if a baby's sense of smell deteriorates between the ages of 3 to 5 years old. Like, between 0 and 3, I feel like their sense of smell has more to do with the invisible information. And yes, smell officially is an invisible information. However, we believe it to be one of our 5 senses. So when you talk about a fifth, you know, part of the senses, how invisible is that? Because people would say, well, sound is invisible, but we know it to be a tangible kind of concept.
It's a resonance. Smell has a resonance. But smell, and this is what some of the stuff that's going into our next book, right? So, but you wanted to say what else about the sounds? You wanted to say?
Well, no, I was talking more about the smell and the fact that, yes, we all, you know, understand it to be an invisible, not, you know, process or you know, receptor. But because it's one of our 5 known, and I'm doing air quotes there, guys, sorry, known senses or acceptable scientific senses, that people would not think of smell as an invisible knowledge.
Right. That's important.
Because they believe it to be, it may not be officially what would be considered seen through the eyes, but it's understood. It's understood
that a smell has
substance, has a tangibility to it.
A
manifestation. Yes. So, yes, sound and smell and resonance, which are some of the things that we're using as our database to put new activities into this book that we're now constructing, our fifth publication. Mm-hmm. Those particular venues or ventures in our cognitive development do create some of our first bridges between the visible and an invisible. And there's so many endless, I mean, we're going to be putting samples. So, because we want people to use their own creativity in these processes.
Right.
But prior to that, babies also, we could talk more about this, but I'm going to put it in the book. Babies do all have some degree of perfect pitch. And the reason is because they need to be able to acquire a definite, substantial sense of, hello, the evening choo-choo train is here. A definite, now we can hear that. But if you were sitting here with us, you could actually feel the train going by too.
You could feel it. You could see it. And if the windows were open, we might actually even be able to smell the gasoline or fuel source of the train.
Yes,
so
we would. But I think it would be diffused a bit by all the trees between the railroad tracks and this window. But one of the things that does need to be focused on more, especially in the first 3 years of development, other than the emotional intelligence quotient, is resonance intelligence. Because resonance, vibration, frequency also is directly linked to the more invisible part, which is the invisible world, also the spiritual realms.
Right.
And those resonances are very particular. They may be, we can even call them peculiar to the human brain, but very particular to our ability to process invisible knowledge and information and be able to commune beyond just here. So those are things we'd like to talk about more and more as time and days and months and years go by. And we'd like to expound upon more in this book that we're putting together now. The challenge, of course, as I have already said, the first half of the book is done where we rigorously review a lot of the database for knowledge and information.
Right.
And that it comes from the invisible realm. But as we put some samples or re-explain a curriculum of STEM, which of course means space, time, energy, matter. And if you want to say STEAM, then it just simply becomes space, time, energy, and all matter. Whatever realm it's in. Now, if you can come up with something better for the A, that's fine. I know you will because you always do. That's your department.
I came up with space, time. Energy, matter.
And all matters. But we're saying that, of course, because space, time, energy, and matter is the resource for all knowledge and information. So that needs to be, it's first a humanities thing, which is consistent and parallel and matches our own development. It's first a human experience.
Right.
The first 3 years of life. It's human. So,
actually, however, to be fair, the 3 to 5 year old should be known as the human stage, because our brains are underdeveloped. Right. And it's the only species on Earth with a at birth.
Right, but the 3 to 5 year old stage is the first time in our human development where we can really say that the human brain is now microcosmic. All things can relate to the brain, or all things are relatable to the brain.
Right, that's why it should be the stage of humanity.
Right. So that's why an organic STEM program is really especially significant and indicative of what the pre-K brain is capable of doing.
Right.
So what the microcosmic quantum human brain properly defined, once again, we will say good night,
so long,
good day,
farewell.
Whatever. We hate to say
if
goodbye.
If you guys break into song, we know how old you are.
give your age away.
So chances are nobody understood that reference.
I hope some people did.
Okay.
So we'll see. We will be back with another session, of course.
Yes. Now, this one, we already had done the Halloween one, so this one's going to be early November.
So whatever day it is today, yes, when we're recording,
yes,
is today.
Exactly.
But you will hear us and what we have said today on November.
No, early November. Sorry. Early. I have yet to look at my calendar.
Okay.
But we have a prior engagement, so we have to go now.
Yes, so, a subsequent
thank
engagement.
You.
Thank you, everybody, for being here again.
Bye.
Bye.